Welcome back to the Beston podcast. Carl Beston here. Huge first round of the NBL. We actually had a really good week on the pod last week, going 3-1 against the bookmakers Lions, which was a great result. Hopefully we can replicate it this week. And of course, to do so, I'm joined by the overlord of the odds, the tyrant of the totals, and the supreme leader of picks. Welcome back, Kim. What a huge round one, my brother.
Very exciting round one. It's glad to have some NBL back. And we did pretty good with our picks and some of our preseason, you know, analyzing those teams. So you want to start off with a recap on how we started off the show?
Yeah, let's do that for sure. We started 3-1, which is a pretty good start. So we got the win on everything but the Melbourne, what was it, Melbourne minus 4.5 or 5.5, where they missed by a point or two on the cover in OT. But yeah, really solid week in week one, huh? We're off making money to start.
Absolutely. And we saw first week there sort of what we most expected, and the home team's performing pretty well. Outside of just, you know, the Hawks losing to obviously the very, very talented Sydney Kings, which we'll get more into breakdown of each team and how they're looking later on. And then of course the Jack Jumpers losing at home as well. But mostly what we expected there. And you're starting to finally get to see the imports in some action and figure out which teams are looking pretty set for the top four, I guess top six this year technically. So it's really exciting. But before we break down all that, how about the huge shockwave that the Adelaide 36ers set in the news, especially there in Australia, but here in the United States as well?
Yeah, crazy, right? And what made me laugh too was the Devin Booker afterwards posting that LeBron James, pretty much break it down saying, "I'm poor, you're poor, or I'm not, so don't joke at me," video afterwards, right? It was kind of, they took it personally, right?
I mean, you have to. The Adelaide 36ers are already getting in your head. I can only imagine what, you know, the NBA teams are planning for. I mean, the Suns just showed themselves to be pretty mentally weak, so it seems like there's a team and a player that both just kind of own the Phoenix Suns. It's Luka Doncic and the Adelaide 36ers is how it seems.
Well, it could have like dire repercussions for the Adelaide 36ers here, where you have one of these guys either picked up or now on the radar of NBA teams, barring any sort of cuts during the season, etc., that these guys could get call-ups. So it's going to be very interesting to see whether any out clauses are exercised at any point this year, especially with Randall and with Franks, who both had killer games, right?
Right, yeah, that's the only downfall is they might have been a little too good. I mean, if you watch that game, man, they were scary good, all as a team, but especially both Franks and Randall were just lights out from three, Randall especially. So, hey, that's the thing, though, with Craig Randall is he was dominant in the G League, and he's coming to Australia with something to prove. You know, his main goal is to get to the league. He might make it to the league a little sooner than expected after that showing. That definitely has a lot of scouts and a lot of teams looking because he was very, very good in that game on both ends of the floor there. So hopefully they can keep Randall with Adelaide for the season, but at this point it wouldn't shock me with how well he has looked through those games that, you know, he might get poached by an NBA team.
Do you reckon we read anything into the fact that Adelaide won this game going forward for the NBL season? Like, does this give us any sort of, does this have any sort of predictive value, you reckon?
I think it has to have a little bit. You know, you can't overreact too much. But you do got to realize the Suns played their starters 20 minutes. So it's not like they just brought that starting five in and then benched them. I mean, they played pretty good minutes. And Adelaide basically wire to wire led the game. So it just shows how quickly these guys have gelled together. The chemistry looks there. It looks really good. So, you know, you can't overreact too much. But, I mean, you can't say it's not a positive sign going into the season. Just how well they've worked together and how well they were shooting the ball. That was the main criticism I had of them, was I just didn't see how they were going to be able to shoot the three ball consistently. But, man, they look pretty scary good there, and definitely are quieting some of the doubters, including myself. They look very good.
And it allowed the usual suspects to come out screaming, "Second best league in the world," right?
Right, which I don't quite agree with. No. NBL is very, very good, but your league's just so talented. Yeah. But it does look good for the NBL. It draws a lot of attention, so it's still a win for sure.
100%. Little do these guys realize that there are plenty of EuroLeague teams have beaten NBA teams as well. If you look around, like you look at Alba Berlin won, what's it called? Real Madrid beat a stacked OKC playing big with all the stars playing like full minutes. Then also remember the Champions game, whatever it was, where it was Barcelona against the Lakers as well, where Kobe Bryant coming off knee surgery played 30 minutes in a 40-minute game, and the Lakers lost as well with Pau Gasol, with Ron Artest, with Andrew Bynum, with everyone, and they lost as well. The EuroLeague is on another level. I mean, it's very hard to compete with that, right? But just because of the salaries, you can't draw that level of talent to the NBA, and you lose a lot of talent to the EuroLeague, as we've seen this year. The Kings, you know, best two players, Xavier Cooks is there as well, but a member of their sort, two members of their big three have gone to the EuroLeague on big deals that the Kings just simply couldn't match, right, who are a big money team themselves. I think we've got a little bit of a way to go before we get to that, but a huge win for the NBL and the reputation for around the world, right?
Right, and that's the main thing to note is, you know, it could cost Adelaide a player, hopefully not, but it brings the great attention that the NBL needs. People, you know, I think they're starting to realize over the last few years, the players in this league are getting better and better. There's some really, really good players in there. So it's starting to get the recognition that it deserves. You know, your league's kind of already had that. NBL is finally starting to get that attention that it deserves because there's some really talented players in here. And they showed that, you know, hey, we're a little bit better than those players you have on your bench. So it's something some teams need to rethink is how much they like their bench players in the NBA. I think me and you both agree there's a good amount of players in the NBL that should be in the NBA and could easily be filling at least a bench spot on a lot of teams.
100%. And I'm also going to say too, I had a feeling as soon as those benches came in the fourth quarter and Adelaide had that high single digit lead, that the game was over, that Adelaide were going to win because they just definitively had better players, right?
Absolutely. And that's the point, you know, I had to make sure to make is, looking at the Suns bench players that were playing, you know, I mean, listen, you're still in the NBA for a reason. They're still good players, but these guys in the NBL can easily go toe-to-toe with those bench players in the NBA, not just from Suns, but from other teams too. And so that's what we saw there is that they didn't just go toe-to-toe, but, you know, they won. They outplayed those Suns bench players. Yeah. So just something to look forward to for some of those NBA teams is there's some really talented players over here, and they should really be paying attention to the basketball we got going on over there in Australia.
And that's the thing. NBA teams are constructed differently, right? So they're constructed for the fact that they have one or two, maybe three stars that are ball dominant, right? So they have the ball in their hands for the majority of the game. It's just an analytics thing, right? Where you want the ball in the hands of your best players, right? And then they surround those guys who perform one specific function particularly well. Like they're not looking for the 10 best players, 10 best all-round players, if that makes sense. They're looking for guys who can perform specific roles around those guys. So then when you put all those guys on the floor against guys who are more well-rounded players than what they are, the more well-rounded guys are going to win because the bench guys don't know where to go, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And those guys that are sort of those bench players, maybe back, you know, a few years prior, they were sort of those guys. But once you start getting your role in the NBA, you really spend the majority of the time working on that, whether you're being like a Ray Allen, it's more just, you know, spot up shooters, hitting those threes, those open threes. So you're absolutely right. The playmaking ability was just better with the Adelaide players because that's, you know, that's their roles that they're used to. And I think those Suns players coming that usually come off the bench aren't used to having such a big playmaking role. And that's why you saw Adelaide look so good and get the win over the Suns.
Yeah. And I'll make a point here too. This isn't shitting on Torrey Craig here, right? But like Torrey Craig would not, I don't think Torrey Craig would be a starting import or, you know, like a leading import on any team in the NBL, right? He definitely wouldn't be on Adelaide. They wouldn't take Torrey Craig over Randall or Frank. You know, they're not taking him over those guys, right? Or are they taking Torrey Craig over Randall, Franks, or Cleveland? I say no way.
No, and that's the problem is, you know, Torrey Craig just doesn't quite have the playmaking ability. You know, good defender. He can shoot, you know, here and there just fine. But the thing that you get with Randall and Franks and those guys is just a little bit more of that playmaking ability, which is more important in the NBL. So I wouldn't trade it. I think you're right. Adelaide probably wouldn't either. Not that Torrey Craig's not a good player or couldn't play in the NBL. It's just, you know, those playmaker-type players are a little more valuable.
Yeah.
And honestly, he's looked so good, you know, He's an NBA talent, Greg Randle, and won't shock me to see him in the NBA pretty shortly.
That's the thing. And often you rely on your imports to be that guy, right? So unless you're bringing in, unless you feel confident in your Aussie playmakers and your other two imports, you're not bringing in an import for a specific role in the NBL, right? Also, in a word, yes or no, Adelaide 36ers title contender?
I'm going to go with no. I hate to do it after that huge win, but I'm going with no. What are you saying?
No. Okay. Let's move.
It's a painful no.
Yeah, it's a painful no. Like, they'll be entertaining. I just don't think they can win the title, right? We'll go into the games this week. We've missed some already, but we figured that, you know, the weekend games were the more impactful games anyway, with Sydney and Melbourne coming up tomorrow and Brisbane and Tasmania now with an 0-3 and 0-2 team coming up tomorrow. We wanted to delay the podcast a little bit so we'd get lines for those games as opposed to the first couple of nights in non-prime time games, as you'd say, apart from maybe Brisbane and Sydney. Let's do Southeast Melbourne and Cairns. Southeast Melbourne only laying -1.5, granted all the injuries, but where are we at with this one?
Yeah, Phoenix back at home here, you know, coming off the tough road loss to the Hawks, but that game was one we definitely both liked Phoenix to kind of take a tough loss in. 1-1 now. Titans had their huge win over Tasmania, but I'm going with the home team, Phoenix, here. I still think Phoenix will be fine, even though I know they're missing, you know, a lot of guys. They're definitely missing some studs, but, you know, they still have Alan Williams, gives them some great minutes, and with Adnum and Mitch Creek there, I still think it's enough points to get it over the Titans. I think the Titans' first win was a little bloated, if you'd say, against the Jackjumpers there. They really had two pretty bad quarters, and then they just had those two really large quarters. Even had 39 points in a quarter, which is absolutely crazy for this league. It's very impressive, but they shot 32 free throws that first game. They're not going to get 32 free throws against Phoenix. I'm going to go with the home team. Where are you going with this one?
Yeah, if I'm getting a short number on a home team where I like that, where they still have some star players I like, I'm always leaning towards that. So yes, I will be taking Southeast Melbourne -1.5 on this one. Southeast Melbourne, it's a really, really interesting start to the year, right? So if they can kind of break even, I think, over the first few rounds while they're missing pieces, like they're missing Brown, Trey Kell, Joe Cheese to come back too. We'll talk about the Joe Cheese thing in a second, actually. It's an interesting conversation, whether they don't believe in Williams or why they've made that choice sort of thing there. Because it feels like this is Brandon Ashley, Joe Cheese 2.0. But yeah, it's a weird situation there. But if they can just break even over the first few rounds, this team, I think, still can contend and will cover that 2.5 very comfortably. 12.5 season win total. Our season win totals are looking pretty good after the first week as well, man, which is good. So we went a Tasmania under, which everyone was a hard over on. It's looking good at the moment, right? But yeah, this one, it's going to be interesting. And Cairns, on the other hand, too, like, that was weird, man, to go from the days of watching Aaron Fearn, where it's like it's like that scene with Joe Pesci where they're holding, you know, they're holding him back and they're like pinning his eyes back, making him watch, you know, the gruesome things that are about to occur. That was like watching the Cairns Taipans back in the day. You know, like, you were literally being forced to watch the most ugly games you've ever seen, where they reduced pace, they tried to keep it close and just try and grit out ugly wins. And there's nothing wrong with that. And part of the basketball purist loves that, but I can understand from a broader perspective it wasn't the prettiest thing. But to now go to this team that just shoots threes like they have a contract number sort of hinging on it.
I think they're the Golden State Warriors, basically.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Like, are we that sure on DJ Hogg as a three-point shooter? Are we that sure on Majuk Dang as a three-point shooter? It's and Majuk Dang seemed to take that game a bit personally, too. Wartenberg gets the start over the veteran who's a proven entity in this league, and Majuk then goes, hold on a second, guys. Like, I'm still the big dog around here and had a huge game. But, yeah, that's my opinion. What's your take on these two teams?
Yeah, got to stick with Phoenix at home there. You're right. The Titans will have some games. They're going to score 100 points this year. I think it's going to happen probably a couple more times, just the way they play offense. But I mentioned it before. I'm going to always mention it. It's a very popular phrase. You live and die by the three. You're not always going to be shooting in this league on fire. Just how it goes. So when they start missing those threes, I think things are going to go poorly. I already mentioned there's no way they're going to shoot 32 free throws again this game. They shot really well, 53%, but I just still think, you know, it's a little bit more of a bloated win, being that it was against the Jack Jumpers, who've just really not been good this year, really don't look great. So you got to roll with Phoenix here. Make sure that the Titans got to show that these guys can shoot threes consistently. I don't know if they can do it game in and game out. There's a reason their win total is only set at 7.5. That's the only thing I want to say.
We took the over, though. We're 1/8 of the way there. We're 12.5% of the way there.
It was a great start, that's for sure. They got to start bumping up, but unfortunately, the Titans can't play Tasmania every week.
No.
Or otherwise, that'd be a much higher win
total. I think Tasmania would be excited if they can win one out of their next two games. They'd be ecstatic, actually, if they could win one of the games against Southeast Melbourne or Perth. I think tonight's probably the more likely. Southeast Melbourne is the more likely of the two, but like, we'll see what happens. But yeah, we'll move on from that game. So we're both taking Southeast Melbourne minus 1.5. Perth, Illawarra. Perth, big line here, almost hitting double digits. We're at minus 9.5. What do you think?
Going with the home team here once again. It's a large line, and I know the Hawks are off that really nice 13-point win over Phoenix, but this Perth Wildcats team, it's just a different team. Them and Sydney are both those teams that you really don't want to be betting against very often. You got the Hawks now having, you know, the first two games at home. Now they got to go on the road to Perth, play in the jungle. It's a lot to ask off a nice big win for them. I just don't think they're going to be able to stop this offense. No one's going to stop Bryce Cotton. So, you know, if Brady Manick starts finding his groove too, I just think this is going to be a blowout. I think it should be easily a double-digit win. So I'm going to go with the home team, Perth, here. They just got too many weapons for Illawarra to handle. I believe, is Robinson out again as
he's
well?
Out
I think
again.
He's out of this one as well. So that's just another guy they're missing. It's too much pressure on Harvey to really score a lot of points. So I'll take Perth here. Where are you going on this one?
It's a big number, right? It's a big number. But if you're ever going to take the big number, it is... you got to take it with the Perth Wildcats at home, right? Like, it just is a good fit there. I just think they're a tough get there. And as you said, Illawarra would be reasonably content going 1-1 so far with the two home games. Perth, it can just get real ugly in the jungle, right? They start playing Tina Turner's Nutbush City Limits in the fourth quarter and the game's over, right? Everyone starts doing leg in, leg out sort of thing, and it's done, right? And I feel like we're probably going to be hearing the Nutbush a bit early this week. I think a blowout is on the cards here. I might be wrong. I just feel like Perth was so impressive in week one. Let's be honest. Like, this team's been impressive just by the way it's constructed. I just think it's too tough a task without Robinson. You're going in there with young Lockie Dent starting as well. And, you know, I just don't see enough there I just don't see Illawarra with enough to get this done. King will have to come up huge for this to even be close. I think it's going to have to be Harvey and King that get this done, because even like their other guys, like Sam Froling is in for a rough night with Tayshaun Thomas as well. So it's like, it's not like Perth don't have guys for him as well. It's just it's really tough on a Saturday night to win the jungle, I think.
Yeah, that place is going to be rocking. And you're absolutely right. Now, losing Robinson for this, you know, the starters might be able to keep it close for a little bit, but the problem is I just think there's a huge talent difference in terms of the bench here, especially if we see Wagstaff playing like he did last game. Wagstaff played really well. I'll give him credit. 14 points. He was shooting the ball really well. I just don't know, you know, if the Hawks can get enough from their bench to keep it close enough. It's one that I see, you know, maybe being closer to first quarter or first half, but I think Perth's just going to run away with it at some point. You know, they did it last game where they outscored a team by 13 in one quarter. They'll probably do something similar to that. I just don't think the Hawks are going to have enough scoring off the bench to get it done. It's just too much on Harvey and like you said, George King. I don't think it's going to be enough, though. I got Perth winning big at home.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the line, again, like, Perth will win. It's a big number, but it can really get ugly at the jungle. But the, you know, problem is if both benches come in late and we have a backdoor cover on it, right?
Right. That's always a concern. That's where you just hope that they get, you know, the big enough lead. But that's what makes these big numbers hard. because it, you know, they can be up 15 in the fourth with 3 minutes and end up winning the game by 7 or 8. And
yeah,
they always had the game in hand, but you don't end up covering. But I'm not worried about it still. I'm just going to rock with a much better
you
team.
You go rock with the Wildcats till further notice, right?
Absolutely.
Then we've got Brisbane and Tasmania. This is the tough one of the round. Everyone is so, like, there's so much negativity towards the Bullets going, this is so bad. These first two games look so ugly. It doesn't look good at all. Like, I'll give everyone a word of, we were more negative on the Bullets than pretty much everyone coming into the season, right? These guys were championship favorites with the bookies and all that. Neither of us understood it. We're like, they're not there. Like, they're in the playoffs, but they're not, like, they're not at that level. People have got to remember, they've gone to definitively the two best teams in the NBL on the road in their first two games. They went to Perth for their opening game, right, which is the toughest place to play in the league, right, on opening, you know, what, their opening Sunday. And then secondly, they went to the Sydney Kings on championship ring night, where they've got 12,000 fans in the stands, and they've looked incredible as well, the Kings, right? So I think we need to call the Jets on the eulogies for the Brisbane Bullets season just yet. You know, like, these are two expected losses, I think. What do you think?
Definitely, and you got to give Brisbane credit actually against Sydney. They played them tough. They really were in that game until the fourth quarter, so they played pretty well. We're both, I'm assuming, on the same boat here. It looks like a good spot for Brisbane to finally get the first win. You know, I don't like going against Tassie when they're at home, but they're just, this lineup they have is just not talented enough. The one thing I do want to mention is, you know, on our previous podcast, I had mentioned the issue the Bullets have turning the ball over. It's really embarrassing how bad it is. I don't know if it's just the players or the coaching, but they need to figure something out, because it's still an issue. It's an issue in the Blitz. They had 24 turnovers in their first game. That was more than the United Breakers game, both teams combined. And that game went to overtime. It was by far the team with the most turnovers in a game was the Bullets in that week one. And they didn't do much better week two. They still had 16 turnovers. They have to by far have the highest turnovers of all the teams right now in the competition. They really need to get that fixed, because that's something that can really hurt them in Tasmania. I still think they'll be all right, but this team's only going to go so far and win so many games if they don't start figuring out how to play a little bit more cleaner ball. The talent level's there. They got the players. They will be better. You're absolutely right. They really had a tough first two games of the season. This is probably probably the hardest schedule, honestly, those first two games. That's pretty brutal, going Perth and then Sydney on ring night. So Bullets will bounce back. But I still got to mention, they still need to figure out that turnover issue, because that's going to kill them the rest of the season if they don't start getting that fixed.
Yeah, it's a problem. And what's kind of funny about the turnover issue, like, last night didn't really come from the guards, right? Like, you kind of expect maybe you're going to have some higher turnover counts with two aggressive, like, non-traditional point guards in Johnson and Sobey, right? But, you know, they weren't the guys turning the ball over. It was Mitchell and Baines that were turning the ball over last night, as well as, you know, a couple for Kadee and a few for Froling. But it's been the bigs, right? Like, last night was the bigs of their 16 turnovers who created them. Right, so it's going to be, it's not from what you'd expect either, which I'm not sure is more alarming, or it feels a bit better because it might be a bit more correctable, right? But it's just, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to win ball games when you're turning the ball over 24 times. Like, it is pretty tough. So
especially when they're on the road, that's what makes it even tougher. So they need to be better against Tasmania, but I think they will.
Have we got a? But the thing was, in round one with the 24 turnovers, I'm not going to excuse the guards in that one. Just looking now at the stats, Tyler Johnson, 4 turnovers, Nathan Sobey, 4 turnovers, and Jason Kadee, 6 turnovers.
Gosh.
That's not what you want from your 3 experienced guards, right? And that was the question that we had about this Brisbane Bullets team still, right, is they haven't shown an ability in years to get through an offense with, you know, like, they've never had the traditional sort of point guards. They've had these utility scoring point guards in Sobey and Kadee, right? So it's kind of, you know, and they didn't do it again. Like, Johnson kind of fits the same mold. It's obviously a mentality that they have, but that's the way it goes. I will say, though, some of the things I haven't liked from the Bullets was, there was all this talk, oh yeah, we're going to be this great defensive team, you know, where we've really improved, like, you know, we've gotten rid of the lazy guys, we're this, we're that, and we're tough, and we have high standards now. you can't give up 100 points and then all, then around like just below 90. You gave up 100 to the Kings. You give up just about 90 to the Perth Wildcats. What's it called? You know, you got to walk the talk a little bit, and the Brisbane Bullets aren't walking the talk right now, I think.
Definitely not right now. I do get that it's a hard schedule, but we definitely can't make any excuses for the Bullets. But this is a really important game because their next game, they do finally get a home game, but they got to play Sydney. It's really tough, so they have to be beating these bottom teams like the Taipans. They really, really need this win badly because that next game against Sydney is not going to be very easy, even though it's at home. So definitely a big spot for the Bullets to get a win, and hopefully they can because they desperately need that win.
Yeah, this is the toughest game of the round to pick for me for sure. What's the old Bill Simmons saying? Loser leaves town match, you know, like that kind. It kind of has that feel about it, right? Like if Tasmania go to 0-4, wow, right? Is that season cooked?
That's what it sets up to be because these are two desperate teams. Because you'll have Bullets would be 0-3 and then have to play Sydney, or you'd have the Jack Jumpers 0-4
playing Adelaide in Adelaide
it's
next
so
week,
hard, man. I have so much respect for Scott.
And then going to Melbourne.
The schedule's not great for the Jack Jumpers, and the problem here is I get that they're at home. It's just the roster talent's not there. That's the hard thing with this Jack Jumpers team. So I agree. It's hard to see them starting 0-5, 0-6 or whatever, or losing this many home games. But the thing is their team's just not as talented as these other teams, so you know, they're desperate, but so is Brisbane, and Brisbane knows how important this win is too. So it's a hard spot for the Jack Jumpers, but they just don't have the roster talent to compete at a high level in this league every single game. They're going to have those games in and out where they do look very good, but that's more why you got to go with Brisbane here. They have so much more talent. They're also desperate. As desperate as Tasmania is, I'll take the team that's more talented.
I'm gonna zigzag this one. I'm going to Tasmania Jack Jumpers plus 1.5.
I like it.
Nice. I just like this spot because, you know, as you said, like, they're going to be 0-6 if they lose this. Like, I don't think they're going to Adelaide and winning. There's going to be so much hype coming off the NBA win, home whistle, home first game with a new, you know, brand spanking new team where they spent a lot of money on it. They're not winning that one. Winning in Melbourne, you know, just it doesn't happen. Like, just ask the New Zealand Breakers and the XRM 3 after the shot clock. It just, every single break does not go your way when you go to Melbourne. They're not winning that one, right? So, I think they've got to win this one. I think Tasmania got to win this one. Then I think Brisbane will eke out and sneak a win at home against the Sydney Kings next week. That's my big call. I think Tasmania win this one, just saving pretty much delaying the execution of their season, I think.
Love it. We finally get to go head-to-head on one of these picks. I'm going with the Bullets. Carl's still going with
the Jack Jumpers.
The home team Jack Jumpers.
Even though I'm probably more negative on the Jack Jumpers than anyone. Like, I was like, definitive under, you know, and what was it, the 12.5 and the 11.5 season wins. I'm like, they're not good. Like, Josh Adams was a huge part of this. And I feel the same way here, but Brisbane just didn't feel good, you know? Like, so I don't like fourth quarter collapses. I don't like teams that turn the ball over, especially when you're going against a team that will be desperate. So let's roll with that. We're going to be different again on this last one, I think, as well. We've got Sydney on the road at Melbourne United. What do you got here?
Yes, this is going to be a fun one. So I agree, it's very tough playing in United. But from what I've seen with City, this team's just another one of those teams that it's just a moving train, and you don't want to get in the way. United's very good. I loved XRM. Looks so good. Ratan Mays was a player I expected him to be with United. I thought Vickerman would get the best out of him. You know, he had his moments with Illawarra, but now he really gets a shot to have a chance to sort of be the guy. I know Rajon Tucker's there, but he was kind of brought in almost as a sixth man and ended up having a huge game. So Ratan Mays, very talented. Rajon Tucker had an off game. Will be much better, but I'm actually taking the road team minus the 2.5. I'm taking the Sydney Kings. I just don't want to get in the way of this freight train here. They're just so good. And even when they have a close game like they did with Brisbane, just like that, you know, snap of a finger, they're up 10 points and win by 10 in a game that was close most of the game. I just can't get in the way with how much talent they have. Too much. Derek Walton cooks. Simon's been good. Vasiljevic had an off game. He's due for a big game. So I'm going to take Sydney on the road, but it sounds like you're thinking the opposite and taking the home team United here.
I will be taking Melbourne United plus 2.5 in this one. Until proven otherwise, John Cain Arena is a house of horrors for road teams. It just, you can't get around that, right? Like, it is particularly hard to win there. Like, as I said, the XRM three ball after, there always seems to be these sorts of things that kind of go on there. I just like Melbourne in this spot. Melbourne, no previous game this weekend as well. Sydney coming off the double with a, you know, what was a tougher than probably the scoreline indicated game against Brisbane last night. I also like the addition. I'm also going to congratulate the NBL on some new additions to the NBL commentary team, particularly Dean Vickerman last Sunday. I thought he did a great job in commentary in that game with Melbourne and New Zealand. The guy just screams into the mic. I'm not sure what they can sort of do about that with the referee mics. But yeah, it was really interesting to get his viewpoints on the game and particularly the refereeing from the sideline. Good sideline commentator there in a Dean Vickerman, but no, it's just a tough spot to win that place, man. Like, it just is. Like, and until proven otherwise, I'm taking Melbourne United at home in these games, and I'm getting plus money here. So why wouldn't I be looking at that? I think I know you made the case. Sydney have a lot of talent. Walton Jr. is as advertised, right? Xavier Cook's back to being Xavier Cooks had a really good round one. There was sort of like, oh, he wasn't great. And it's like, no, he just kind of fit in, played his role and did what he did. Had some foul trouble, missed some foul shots, sure. But I still thought he was really good in round one, two. He was amazing against the Bullets the other night. Justin Simon is the one that we've seen a huge uptick from. I did not expect Justin Simon to have improved like this on his time at Illawarra. I think it speaks to, you know, the development he went and made in the Bundesliga himself about becoming a more effective offensive player, and also the work that Kings have put in the off-season as well. He has gone to another level that I didn't think he had the capability of doing. I always thought he was a nice player, and I'd always want to sign him. There's no question about that. But I wasn't expecting this level of improvement, which has just been fantastic. And and I think Suarez provides them with a big body as well. He's not going to win you a game, take over a game on his own back. But he's just a big, solid body who doesn't make mistakes and does all the right things and can shoot the three ball. I just think they're an incredible. I sing the Kings' praises here. I just think it's incredibly tough to win in Melbourne. What do you think about this? You're big on XRM, right? I am as well. This Shay Illy as definitive starter for Melbourne United, are we sure?
Dean Vickerman's going to have to decide what he wants to do, because I know he wanted Rattan Mays initially sort of as that sixth man, but if he's playing like this, I mean, he had 33, 9, and 5. What more do you want? Like, how are you going to take that out for Shay Illy? And I know Rattan Mays probably won't play quite that well every game, obviously, but I mean, if Rattan Mays keeps playing like this, I think you'd be forced to put Illy on the bench unless Rattan Mays really wanted to be that sixth man for whatever reason. That's sort of the issue they're going to have to figure out, because Rattan Mays looks very, very good, but it's a really kind of hard, awkward spot with what they decide they want to do with Shay Illy, who's also very talented, but I think Rattan Mays just provides them a little more of that scoring aspect, where Illy can provide, you know, the playmaking, but especially on the defensive end is where he's going to excel.
Yeah, this is the issue with Melbourne, is that not sure they have enough scoring, right? So is XRM required to provide, like, they needed that out of XRM to beat New Zealand at home in a game that was expected to be an easy win for them, right? So it's like, do they have that firepower to not have that on the floor?
This is what I was actually going to bring up with you too, is the scoring, you know, especially in this game against Sydney, because Sydney has so many different guys that are weapons that can score. Now you're coming to a more condensed United team where it's really the three very top heavy. It's Golding, Rattan, Mays, and Tucker. That's it.
And I know were they impressed by Arlo Tucker? I points, wasn't. But,
well, he didn't play that great. I think he's going to play better. Yeah. But from what I've seen in preseason, this was not a an encouraging sight the first game, no. But I do think he's going to be much better. The problem is you really relying on Rattan, Mays, and Golding to shoot the ball so well. Golding's a guy that isn't always consistent game in and game out, So that's the problem I'm having here with United is they're so top heavy. If those guys are off or one or two of those guys are off, I just don't see how this bench is going to be able to score to keep up with Sydney. I don't see Barlow scoring 9+ points a game. Humphreys, you can try to get as much as you can out of him, but he's just really not a huge scoring threat. Same with Jordan Caroline. It's not a huge scoring threat. So, And if you go down the line, the rest of the bench, Lachlan Barker and all the way down, there's just not really guys that are going to score.
Yeah.
So that's my main issue with United. They're very good. Definitely can win at home. It's hard to beat them at home. I just don't think they have the scores to keep up with Sydney because it's just so top heavy with those three guys. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree. As I said, I'm picking it because of home court, bro. I'm not picking it
on
talent of the two rosters. Sydney are the far better roster, and I think Sydney and Perth's rosters are so far ahead of everyone else. It's probably not even funny, to be honest. But if you look at this game, right? So you're right. They were relying on. So Barlow, to beat New Zealand, Barlow went 3-for-3 from the three-point line. Goulding went 6-for-11. Rathan Mays went 6-for-11. Tucker went 2-for-6, right? This is not a tradition. Even though Vickham in the off-season said, we're going to make this a three-point shooting team, blah, blah, blah. They haven't got guys that are natural. They're not filled with... They've got Goulding, that's about it, right? As a reliable, consistent perimeter triple threat. Barlow is as well, but there are other issues with that. And, do they want to be playing Dave Barlow, who's in retirement? He's playing 24 minutes now, granted in an overtime game, right? So my alarm bells with Tucker is how he was being guarded, which indicates to me that the teams have the intel on him now. They weren't even going near him on the perimeter, bro. They're just defending him for dribble penetration, right? It was markedly clear, correct?
Correct. It's something he's going to have to prove because initially he was supposed to be, a pretty solid shooter, but the scouting report shows we're going to go under those screens. We're going to sit back until he proves that he can hit something on us. I think he will be better, but it is a concern if they just keep doing that the whole time. If he's not able to start knocking those down. So we'll see what Sydney does. I'm sure Sydney has just as good a report, as the breakers there. But I think Tucker's going to be better. I think he'll start hitting those down. But right now, it is a concern. I agree with you. Because they really need his scoring. We mentioned, they need his scoring bad.
And, I'm on board. And I say this. This isn't a knock on Tucker. This isn't me saying he's a bad player or any of these sorts of things. This is relative to expectations. Right? In the preseason, so much hype around him. Everyone I know that I kind of trust around the league is this guy is legit. He's going to come in. He's going to be a killer. United finally have that guy as an import, right? And to see it, I was you're good. But is it, overwhelmingly, huge money import good? Not sure yet. Right? And I'm sure he will be. It's just you always, until it's proven, you kind of have to have some sort of skepticism about it, right? So, but the Rathan Mays thing, I think that's a huge decision because, if they come back and it's Shay Illy, Golding, Tucker, Caroline, Humphreys, is there enough scoring in that starting lineup to beat the elite teams like Perth and Sydney, etc.? I'm not sure. But with Rathan Mays in them lineup, he gives you something else. So I'm higher on Rathan Mays than most are, and you're even higher than me. So, I think it presents a really, really interesting decision for Melbourne United going forward. And, it's going to be...
I think it'll be telling, too, looking at these next few games as well, how they keep playing. I mean, if they start 2-0, or keep winning with him in that starting lineup, I think Vickerman would just keep it as is. If they're winning, why change it? You know what I mean? So it'll be telling seeing what happens in these next few games before they have Illy back, and they'll have to go from there. But nonetheless, still a tough decision.
Yeah, I 100%. And so it's a good luxury to have as well, right? And also on that, like, concussions are such a nasty injury as well. Like, it's not something that you really want to mess around with. And obviously, Shay's been out with one for a while now, which is alarming, but it's also very responsible as well. Obviously, podcast wishes Shay the best in recovery from that, because we never like seeing anything involving the head, any contact involved. And that's why I got a lot of heat from Wildcats fans last year about the headbutt from Vic Law. I'm a huge Vic Law fan, but I called out that headbutt going, like, head-to-head contact is, like, it just strictly has to be ruled out of the league. Like, you can't have that sort of behavior. And these are sort of the reasons why the head is such a, you know, such a delicate part of the body, and, like, you can't, there's no fix, like, there's, it causes serious issues, right? So just wish Shay the best in returning back to health, and hopefully that'll be sooner rather than later, but all that matters is that he does get healthy, right?
Yeah, it would be great for sure. It is good that they are taking that precaution. You're absolutely right. You know, you tear an ACL, you break a leg, it's going to heal. You know, brain damage, however, you know, brain injuries or injuries to the head, those things can cause long-term effects, long-term issues that don't get better. So they're doing the right thing and exercising precaution here and being safe. So I agree. We wish him the best. It'll be exciting to have him back out there once he is healthy. But I'm glad they're not rushing this back. It's early in the season. There's no reason to rush him in right away. His safety and well-being is so much more important. So they're definitely doing the right thing. And the decision with Rattan, Mays, and Illy can wait until they know Illy's in a safe spot to play.
Yeah. Now, also, we've got Wildcats Taipans on Monday. We won't be analysing that game. Just simply, we haven't got a line for that one. It hasn't come out at the time of when we've recorded this podcast, which is the morning of Saturday, the 8th of October here in Australia, or 7th of October, Friday night, your time. I'm guessing they're Kim as well. So we haven't got a line for that, so we won't be doing that one. That'll be an interesting game, though. Can the Taipans take that three-point shooting circus out west? I have my doubts, but you never know. Now, also, we haven't done the New Zealand Breakers. Also, a shout-out to our fans out in the across the Tasman there. We made the Apple Podcasts top sports podcasts in New Zealand, Kim, last week, mm-hmm. And we're also in the top 10 of all basketball podcasts in New Zealand as well. So thank you to our friends from the land. It's the land of the white cloud over there. We thank you wholeheartedly for that, and we're going to dedicate some time to the Breakers now as well, even though they haven't got a game left on the schedule this weekend. But thank you. And also to Australia, step up to beat your cross-Tasman brethren here. Let's lift the game here in Australia then as well. So just thank you for that. Thoughts on that and the Breakers as well?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you as well for myself. New Zealand listeners, that's awesome. Australian listeners, this next pod, this is your chance to get back there at the New Zealand listeners. But we do appreciate that. And actually, it's exciting now to talk about the Breakers. It's been kind of tough the last couple years. But now we finally get to talk about a good New Zealand team. So looking at the Breakers, you know, great win over the Jackjumpers. They finally had that game at home. So we expected them to take the win. Jackjumpers played them pretty tough, but this Breakers team is just resilient. You know, they're showing that they're playing good team basketball. They've done a good job with their imports, you know, adding Harden, Barry Brown coming over from China has been very good. This guy I'd watched over in China. Jarrell Brantley's been very good. So they just play good team basketball, play hard defense. And, I mean, they're going to be a tough team to play, especially when you have to play them in New Zealand this year. Nothing's going to come easy no matter who has to go play them. So I'm excited to keep watching this team. I think it's finally going to be a pretty good season for them. They're not going to be at the bottom. We had mentioned they're not going to win the 5 games or 6 games, whatever it was that happened last year. It's nice to see they finally have, you know, a normal season. The players can be at home in New Zealand with their family rather than having to be on the road the whole time. That was just a really, really horrible task to put on them. And it's really why they struggled those last 2 seasons. So exciting future for this Breakers team. I'm sure they're going to be upset in quite a few teams this year. That's the way they're built with some tough-nosed players. I'm a big Isaiah Leifea fan as well. So I think Leifea is a solid player. He's actually been scoring pretty well for him too. But especially defensively, he's just a stud. So, you know, they have some guys that, have some real positive energy with them. And they haven't even let Rupert get going. So as soon as that guy gets going, watch out for New Zealand. I'm sure you feel the same there.
Yeah, I'm very positive about the New Zealand Breakers, actually. One thing that is going to make or break, pardon the pun there, I didn't mean that at all, the Breakers this season is I think they're going to play in a lot of close games. It's just the style of game in which they play, right? Like, I haven't checked the pace stats and all that yet, but they do seem to... I do think this team is going to try and dictate tempo and keep games close as well. It's a very experienced unit with, you know, as you said, Brown Jr., Brantley and Pardon as well, being seasoned veteran guys. They're not young imports as well. They've been around the block. I think this is a tough, hard-nosed team, and they're going to be involved in a lot of close games, and we'll see whether that winds up in the positive or the negative for them. But I really like their mix this year. They've also got some good guys on the bench as well. I think, you know, this is another good chance for Cam Glidden, for example. Are we going to see the uptick in William McDowell White as well? He was amazing in round one. Bit disappointing last night, but again, a win's a win, right? So you can't really complain about that at all. I just think it's going to be a really, really interesting year looking at this team. I do think they will. I don't think they're going to get to, what was it, the 13.5 that they were originally. We thought that we were hoping for a low number on the Breakers. Yep, and bang, look at, I'll tell you what, you know, not to toot my own horn here, Kim, but what an eye test I have with some of these teams. You know how I said to you before that the New Zealand Breakers seem to play with a slow pace and keep games close? They certainly do.
Absolutely.
They have the lowest in the league, the lowest pace in the league at 70.8.
Absolutely. It's something we actually saw last season too. Same thing, very slow pace of play. So I'm glad to see they're sticking with that this year too. That's how this team's built for.
Yeah, and if you look at, we'll run some comparisons to other teams. The Sydney Kings' pace is at 87.2. And that is astonishing as well, by the way, because that's that's five against the next quickest team. So, like, it's kind of really, it's New Zealand are playing slower than Tasmania.
That's why you're going to see those close games, and the Breakers can grind out some games. Those teams that like to play fast, like those Sydney Kings, they don't like playing slow. No. So if you can slow them down, it's something that'll bug them, and that's why New Zealand's going to be tough against the majority of the teams they play. Yeah. And look at their game against the Jack Jumpers. Held them to 65 points. I mean, that was a slow pace, really low-scoring game, just 71-65.
Mm.
It's what works for them, though. So it is slow pace, but it plays to their strengths, and they might as well keep playing like that because that's how they're built.
Yeah, correct. So it makes sense that you play that way, and it kind of makes me laugh. Everyone goes, oh, check out Cairns' pace and all that. Like, it's mid-tier, right? Well, Sydney's the team that just flies up and down the court. But yeah, New Zealand way down the bottom. It's just obvious to the eye, right? Like, that was the way that they were playing. And I know Modi Moore was like, oh yeah, we're going to change that up this year. Doesn't look like they've changed much at all, to be honest. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you've got the experienced bodies to be able to handle that, you're all good. So it's going to be interesting. I think anything else on round one you really want to cover? It was a quicker pod this week. We're just trying to get a quick one out on a Saturday. My apologies, not the usual real heavy breakdown that it is. Just some, you know, life stuff. Life gets in the way occasionally, doesn't it, Kim, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's always never easy already since our time zones are like complete opposite of each other too.
Yeah.
Maybe in the United States as well. But I mean, you got a lot going on. I've got my own stuff going on, so we do the best we can for sure. But the one thing we will notice, you know, we're always watching, we're always paying attention to these games, so we're always happy to come on here and share our insight.
Yeah.
And that's the main point of that pod, so we'll just continue doing that, and I'm looking forward to another good week of games and seeing what else, you know, we see this week.
Favorite game this week, Sydney-Melbourne?
Favorite game to watch, definitely Sydney-Melbourne, without a doubt. That's going to be awesome, and it's 10 p.m. my time, I'll actually get to watch it, so I think that's got to be the game of round two for sure, or week two here.
Yeah. I'm super pumped for that one. I'm also intrigued by Brisbane and Tasmania, I must say, as funny as that is. Like, that is the death match, I think, tomorrow. And I think it is a real problem for whoever loses that is seriously staring down the barrel of a long season, particularly Tasmania, who will have had the couple of road games. But that's it. So, anyway, that's been another episode of the Best in Podcasts. You can find, you can find Kim on Twitter at Kim's Picks. You can also find me on Instagram at Carl Beston and on Twitter as well at Carl Beston. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, pretty much every podcasting app out there. We also request, if you do enjoy the podcast, and geez, like, we did give you a 3-1 week in round one. We provided you with a winning week against the line. In return, all we ask is if you could please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, 5 stars, of course, preferably. And on Apple Podcasts, if you can leave a written one, that would be even better. But anyway, that's it for another week. We really hope you enjoy the remainder of round two and the blockbuster games to come this weekend. It's been a pleasure. Kim, have an awesome weekend, my brother. I know it's a Friday night for you, so I think it's time to hit the club, right, brother?
Pretty much, yes. Got to, as long as Phoenix comes through here, it'll be a good time to hit the club. As long as Phoenix comes in, it's going to be fun. I'm just excited to watch the games.
The bar's a little more depressing out there. Yeah, the bar's revenue tonight is wholly dependent on the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix winning.
If I'm sitting in the corner and I'm kind of moping, I'm a little quiet, well, that means Phoenix probably didn't do so good. All jokes.
All jokes, of course. And of course, we provide this. This is not an endorsement of gambling in any sort of way. Like, it's a way for us to analyze the games. Also, if you do choose to gamble, please do so responsibly. In addition to that, also, if you do believe that you have a gambling problem or have concern that you might be developing one, gamblers' helplines are available everywhere to help you and assist you with that. And please don't hesitate to do so. That's another week in the pod, Kim. It's going to be a huge round. Let's see if we can come up with as good a result as last week.
I'm excited, especially because we got a couple going against each other here. So it'll be a good test there to finally have a few different. But we're coming off the 3-1 week, so hopefully we can both do pretty good again this week. But as always, man, it's just so great having the NBL back. It's always so fun to watch it. They do so good with the broadcast and everything. So I'm excited and looking forward to seeing how the results end up.
Can't wait, my man. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.